You're making me sick. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just so we don't have to do a bunch of explaining as to what our next guest, our buddy Mark Fisher from the Washington Post, is going to be telling us about a story that's getting lots of national play now, but has been local here in D.C. driving us nuts for a while.
Oh, this is an incredible story.
Here's a summary of the story from today's Today Show.
It all began 2 years ago when this man says he took the pants from a pinstripe suit to this Washington, D.C. dry cleaner for...
Right, everybody's heard about this story, so yep, let's just get right. The background and then we'll talk to Mark.
Alterations. He claims they lost the pants, then tried to pass off these gray slacks as his. Those were the pants, says the lawyer, for the couple that owns the business, Jin and Soo Chung, Korean immigrants who came here in 1992.
He did not drop off any pants that had red or blue or any other pinstripes.
They eventually offered to pay $12,000 to settle the dispute.
We can't sleep properly, we cannot eat properly, we can't function properly because this is always on our mind.
The customer, Roy Pearson, a local judge, declined to be interviewed, but he's hoping to sue the pants off the cleaners, originally asking for $67 million in damages, then reducing it to a mere $54 million. He claims the Chungs committed fraud when they put up a sign that said, "Satisfaction guaranteed." He sued under a consumer protection law that allows fines for each day of violations.
I know what you're saying. What a load.
Yeah, really.
Let it roll on here for a second.
Which is how he got to more than $50 million. That, and asking for $15,000 to lease a car so he could drive to a different dry cleaner. An advocate for changing the legal system says consumer laws are open to abuse.
They were designed to protect consumers against real fraud. Misstatements that could hurt somebody, not for a small business that says satisfaction guaranteed.
The lawyer for the Chung says he's never seen anything like it.
They came here, they started a cleaners, and a mere over 10 years later, they found that that dream has become a nightmare at the hands of Roy Pearson.
The case is now in the hands of the judge, and the Chungs hope they don't get taken to the cleaners. For today, Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
We're shaking our heads. Yeah. Every time we've heard about this story over the last couple of weeks, we've sat here shaking our heads.
I feel like unless I'm missing something, it makes no sense.
Nor does it to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out what happens.
But when we're talking about things like loose stool and oily discharge,
no.
At best they sound annoying.
No. Silly.
Live from Club Media Corner, it's the Don and Mike Show.
So that's the story.
There it is.
I think we mentioned a couple of days ago, Mark Fisher, who's a buddy of ours in the Washington Post, has written some outstanding stuff about what's going on in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And now that it's getting some national play, let's welcome him back to the show. Here is Mark Fisher for the Washington Post.
Hi Mark.
Mark. Hi, guys.
Hey, dude. Thanks for coming back. The stuff you wrote today as a follow-up was great. Your column yesterday was exceptional, describing the hilarious issues that were going on in the courtroom.
Well, thank you. This was the gift that kept on giving. You couldn't really lose with this one. There are more pressing matters in the world, but this one's just too good to pass up.
You know, Mark, I read what you wrote yesterday, and following this story, I can't help but just feel a little nervous, because it's just that any individual can take anybody else and put them through this. Now, regardless of who's right, who's wrong in this, I mean, it's pretty unprecedented for this when we're talking the numbers we're talking about here, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty well up there. The thing that's different about this is that, you know, normally if I hate you and I sue you and I say, you know, I want money because I hate this guy, it's going to be laughed out of court. But when you have a lawyer representing himself and he says, I'm suing you because I hate you, and here are 26 places in the law that I'm referring to that, I have these citations, all of a sudden the system has to take this seriously because the guy sort of knows what he's talking about. Then add on top of that, this guy represented himself, so the other normal check on litigation is the expense. Well, he's got all the time in the world, and he's got nobody to pay.
Wow.
So by his own testimony, Roy Pearson put in 1,400 hours of research on this case.
Wow.
That's going to tie up any court system.
And the thing that I think everyone really wants to know, and you're there in the court, you've covered this, how does it go? I mean, I know that it's a technicality, but it's a pair of pants.
It's a pair of pants, and, you know, I have to tell you, this is a guy who's really obsessed with his clothing. He revealed in court yesterday that he owns 60 pairs of pants, 60.
And he got emotional, didn't he?
Oh, he broke down crying twice.
Wow.
Twice over a pair of pants.
I'm so glad we have you on the show because I've been dying to know the answer to this question, and I don't know whether you know the answer or not. With the lawsuit, I am curious, and I know he's gotten character witnesses. The judge has to come out, and not the judge in the suit, but the guy that's suing the dry cleaners, right. Custom cleaners. Do these people have a bad reputation within the neighborhood? Is this something where maybe this guy's getting support from customers of this dry cleaner? Hey, these people have been horrible for so long, or is this guy just a lone gun out to follow his own agenda?
You know. Every dry cleaner screws stuff up. Every dry cleaner, right. Discolors a garment or something like that. Pearson put up signs on phone poles all over the neighborhood saying, "Did you have problems with custom cleaners? Give me a call." Right. And he got a bunch of calls. Oh. And he put a whole bunch of names on his witness list, and he actually called several witnesses. So these are his witnesses. They go up on the stand, and they say, "Oh, yes, I had a terrible problem with custom cleaners. They ruined this dress, or they lost these pants." And then, as the questioning went on, it came out that custom cleaners did right by every one of them. They gave them the money. They replaced the garment. They gave them credit for dry cleaning. And, these are his witnesses, and they were all destroying his case because everybody got satisfaction. And his whole case was about this sign that said...
As you're talking about this, again, the question that I know everyone is screaming in their car right now as they're listening to this is, this is such common sense. Why are we now having to wait a week for someone to decide this? How come no one just tells him to shove it and take a hike?
And he's going to appeal, too, right?
Well, that's the thing. He's going to appeal, and he's a bit of a nutcase. So if you're the judge and you've got this guy in front of you who not only is a little bit off but really knows the law and has researched the heck out of this thing, then you're not going to sit up there on the bench and say, case closed, case dismissed. You're going to sit down and do a whole bunch of research and put together a written decision because you know that this guy is going to appeal.
Because he's in the system and he can get away with it, and I think that sucks, too. I really do. I think that's so unfair to these people. It really is.
What about, I saw today a clip from Inside Edition where he's walking out of the courtroom, and one of these clods from the show is following him, like, please comment, comment, comment. And they trip over his little valise that he's carrying behind him, and the judge that's suing, turns around and says, "Don't touch me." And it was a very psychotic moment. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen that clip, but that's very much in character because, for all of his preparation and for all the years that he's put into this suit, the guy is standing there and he's reading every bit of DC code and all this legal stuff, and he's totally confident when he's doing that. But every time the judge or the defense lawyer asked him a question that he didn't have prepped in his documents, he got totally flustered.
Wow.
It was like watching a guy just get knocked off a pedestal. You know, he had the deer in the headlights look.
Wow.
And
how deep do you think we're going to be able to, you as a journalist, Mark, how deep are we going to be able to get into this guy's bio? I mean, you said he's a nutcase. Everybody that, reads about this, it appears on the surface this guy is out of his mind. And the fact is, he's a sitting judge, is he not?
He's a sitting judge, but, and he's got, how did he get the job? Well, he's got a pretty decent resume. lawyers are pretty obsessive types.
Right.
So, when someone sits there and spends hundreds and hundreds of hours researching some incredibly arcane bit of law, to the real world, that looks like truly obsessive, bordering on psychotic behavior.
Right.
But in the legal profession, that's, hey, he's a pretty good lawyer.
He's done his research.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is the mood, Mark, like in the courtroom when something absolutely freaking ridiculous happens, when he says something ridiculous like, "I need $15,000 to lease a car to go to a new cleaner"? Do people laugh?
There was open, broad laughter of a sort that most judges will usually, throw down the gavel and try to bring things into order. But this judge was sort of giggling up there on the bench. There were several points at which the entire room, except for Pearson's mother, was laughing at him. And the judge didn't really do much about it because it is patently ridiculous. She gave him a million chances to say something rational.
Okay.
She kept saying to him, let's look at this. His whole case is about the sign that says satisfaction guaranteed.
Right.
And he says, if there's a sign that says satisfaction guaranteed, then whatever the customer wants, have to give the customer.
That's so unrealistic. I heard the fact that regardless of the decision, in the event event that they find for the dry cleaners, that this guy will appeal. This could take a few more months, perhaps even a year or two, to get this thing resolved. My question is, from a legal standpoint, and the legal people you've talked to about this, is there any chance that the people at Custom Cleaners will be able to recover some of the money that they've had to throw into this thing, defending it against this nutcase?
Well, we should find that out next week, because this judge in this case has the authority to say to Pearson, you know, you've made a travesty of this whole system, and not only are we not going to pay you the ridiculous $500,000 in attorney's fees that you've asked for representing yourself, but we're instead going to make you pay the legal fees for the other side.
God, I hope so. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think in a time when we finally send Paris Hilton to jail that this thing could be resolved as well?
So you'd think. I mean, you know, this poor Korean family, you know, this is the classic immigrant story. They come here, and within a few years, they've opened up three dry cleaning places, and you know, they're doing okay. And then this guy comes along and literally bankrupts them. They've got nothing left.
And what you said was so true, Mark, at the very beginning. Any dry cleaner is going to have situations where they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to have situations, some good, some bad. But it's, you know, it happens.
Happens, and the question is, what do you then do about it? Are you a jerk and you tell the customer to go away, or do you make it right?
I think most people have a relationship with their dry cleaner like I do with mine. I don't know her name. I have been going there 15 years. It's like, you know, hey, Mr. Mike, how are you? I never have my ticket. She always gives me the stuff. I could not imagine going in and getting mad. I've seen these people on TV. What can the average schmuck out there do to help the people with the cleaners?
To at least say
that we're behind you.
They can go to customcleanersdefensefund.com and give them a little green, because they've had to shell out tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees just to keep their business.
And because this guy is a judge, you know, in other circumstances it probably wouldn't be the case. And you're right, because of the free, you know, hours that he's put into this thing. What a nightmare for this family. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Let me tell you how this family tried with this guy. 3 years before this incident with the pants, they had another problem where they lost some other garment of his, right? So he goes in and he says, what are you going to do about this? And they said, we will compensate you for the value of you know, what does it cost you to go buy a new pair of pants?
Sure.
He says $150. So they cut him a check for $150. Right. They never asked him for a receipt.
Sight unseen.
Sight unseen. They just took his word for it.
And
he got the $150, then he turns around and does this to them.
Unbelievable.
And last thing I want to ask you, in yesterday's column, I was trying to paraphrase it. I didn't have the paper in front of me. One of the witnesses, I think, that the judge who was suing, the crazy judge, had up there, had a woman who brought the Nazis into this. That quote, seriously, when I was at my coffee yesterday morning, made me do a spit take.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
That's the quote where I asked him about, I mean, do these people have a bad rap in the neighborhood? And obviously they don't.
Do you remember the quote, though, that she said?
Yeah, this is an 89-year-old woman in a wheelchair who had obviously been prepped by Pearson. And she would have us believe that the owner of Custom Cleaners literally chased her out of the place because they had some dispute about a garment. And Pearson asked her, what did you think of the owners of Custom Cleaners after this? And she said, I was in Germany during the war, and all I could think of was the Nazis and what they'd done to the Jews.
My God.
Yeah, I swear to God, when I read that yesterday, I think I mentioned it on the air, you can't write funny like that. That's so real life funny. So, oh my God, our society is so screwed up funny.
You know, Mark, nobody, likes to predict what a judge is going to do, because you really, in our justice system, my God, you never have any idea what's going to happen. But is there a popular sentiment as to how this thing's going to go?
Yeah. I mean, this judge, she wasn't ready to rule from the bench, but she didn't want us to go home empty handed. And so at the very end, she said, this case is based on supposedly on the consumer protection laws. She said those are very important laws, but it is also very important not to misuse those laws.
Okay, good.
She made it clear.
I hope so.
All right. Well, listen, it's really been great writing you've been doing in the Post. You're doing an outstanding job of telling the facts while also showing how incredibly funny, for lack of a better word, this is.
It is kind of funny. It is.
It's ridiculous. It's funny, and it's sad, and it's outrageous all at once.
And now it's a national story. Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for coming on
the
show.
Good talking to you, Mark. All right, see you later. Bye-bye.
That's an amazing story. Yeah. That really is.
What does Judge Balls think about that?
You are a prying, pipsqueaking ass.
Remember Judge Sourballs?
Yeah, Sourballs.
Stop cackling.
We're going to have to get somebody to match the Duke here, because it's a lady judge.
It's a lady.
It's a lady.
Where did you find these Packer woods.
I don't know, Judge. She's a lady, though. We can't use your tapes.
You wear those things in public, I'll arrest you.
It's a lady.
There's always somebody looking for some.
Yeah, I know, Judge.
I know, those Koreans.
I'll blast you to hell as quick as I would a white man.
Hey, I'm on their side.
Who else have you blabbed to?
I almost had to recuse myself from this interview because, you know, I play golf with a Korean dry cleaner like every other week. My buddy Danny.
But not these guys.
My buddy Danny, who has liked to take money off me, dude.
Be honest. Come on. Your caddy.
No
Who's your
luck.
Caddy?
No such
Who's
luck.
Your caddy?
I'm down
what
there.
Did you say?
About 25 bucks.
I said, who's your caddy?
Fellas my age generally call me GW.
All right.
Say that again.
What, Judge?
I'm your father.
Wow.
That's a new one, isn't it?
I didn't know he was my father.
Well, now, Your Honor.
Oh, Your Honor. There's the judge reference.
All right.
I'll call you Your Honor. Then.
He's happy now.
Duke.
He did?
He did what?
Are you talking about Mike?
Well, what is he admitting to?
Mike just figured out that you're his father.
Well, why?
You said it. You said I'm your father.
Impugned? What does that mean?
Impugn? I didn't impugn your integrity. I was just agreeing with you.
Well, just for the tally books, what did you say?
We said that we think you are Mike O'Mara's father.
Yeah, give those Indians a fair trial.
What do Indians have to do with this?
We're talking about the guy who's suing for his pants.
Say, you really busted that knuckle, didn't you?
Boy, you got young all of a sudden. You got really young, Duke.
Ooh, that's perfect.
Oh, what is perfect?
Unloosen your belt.
Oh, no.
What did he say?
Unloosen my belt.
You don't want to do that, do you, Judge?
I really don't.
I see what you mean.
No, you don't want to do that, Judge Balls.
And any more talking, it'd be a waste of time.
You're right, Judge Sourballs.
All right, we should probably go to break.
The government never gave anybody anything.
Well, I hope the government doesn't give this dry cleaning guy anything either.
I come close to killing you a couple of times when we were younger.
That's right, Dad.
Saddens me I didn't.
Oh, thank you, Dad.
That's no way to talk to your son.
I stole some stick candy.
Yeah, you never gave it to me, Pop.
Well, if I were black...
If you were black,
you were black what?
You better start tapering off.
All right, he's getting mad now.
I've got a touch of hangover, bureaucrat. Don't push me.
That's Daddy.
There's Dad.
That's Daddy.
Dad O'Mara. Duke O'Mara.
And it's going to be a lot longer time.
For what, Dad?
I heard they'd been pardoned.
Who'd been pardoned, Dad?
I give you my solemn word.
Your solemn word on what?
Cut off these pigtails.
What pigtails? What are you talking about?
First thing I learned about Indian fighting was to wait for daylight.
Yeah, how you say that. We're burning daylight, wait for daylight. It's always Dad and daylight.
Indian fighting is good experience for our kind of conversations.
Stop it with the Indian fighting. It's PC, man.
It's your move.
Well, my move, Dad, is that I don't want to talk about Indian fighting.
We got to go to break.
Pretty hard for them to understand that they have to hold up their hand like a schoolboy in a classroom.
Yeah, it is hard for us, Dad.
Can we please go to break?
You're insane.
Thank you, Dad. Pause.
Do you love Mike?
You know, if we had any moral character, we wouldn't be standing here covered with mud drinking.
You're right, Dad.
There you go.
This is the Don and Mike Show.